2,000 years ago, a baby was born who would change the course of history. Nations would be altered. Whole people groups and cultures would be transformed. And it would happen one person at a time. One man, one woman, one boy or girl, meeting this unique person, Jesus, who came and dwelt among us in the land of Palestine.
He came to the earth to change the hearts of men, to save us from our sins. He came to show us the Father and to lead us back to God. He came to offer the greatest sacrifice that the world would ever know. He would be the perfect expression of selfless love.
He would die and rise again and ascend to heaven, where he reigns as king forevermore. And he is coming again, the soon and coming king, to take up his throne, where he will rule in justice and in peace.
Long ago, prophets foretold of his coming. His arrival had been anticipated, hoped for, longed for centuries. He is the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior, the King of glory. This morning, we sing to him. This morning, we gladly proclaim his birth. We celebrate the arrival of the Christ child. Hallelujah! The King is here.
Thank you.
was the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, Almighty God. And yet, Jesus left his position in heaven to come to earth. Because we had severed our relationship with God through sin, he came specifically to bring us back to a right relationship with our Creator.
Jesus did not come, however, as royalty, though he could have. He did not enter earth on a white horse as a conquering warrior, though he had every right to do so. He did not present himself as a clergyman, though he was indeed the great high priest.
God chose to send his Son in a most unexpected way. He sent our Savior as a baby, born in a Bethlehem stable, and his mother wrapped him in rags using a feeding trough as his cradle. regarded this peasant woman's child, the heavens were ecstatic.
First, an angel suddenly appeared to a group of shepherds who were keeping sheep in a field outside of Bethlehem. The shepherds were afraid, of course, but when the night sky exploded with angels, the men were terrified.
One angel spoke and commanded these men to leave their flocks and go immediately to Bethlehem and to find the Christ child. They did not hesitate, and they found the baby and his mother just as the angel had said. Please stand and join us as we sing some of our favorite carols that celebrate our Savior's birth. Were the shepherds fully aware of what they were witnessing?
Did the wise men who visited later know what impact this child would have for eternity?
Did they realize that this child was actually their Savior?
They must have had some idea, for the Gospels say that the shepherds went away rejoicing, and that the wise men bowed down and worshiped this child.
But Luke also tells us that Mary, Jesus' mother, treasured these moments silently, knowing that this time would not come again. There would be more, much more, to this story. It is more than a wish, more than a desire, more than an aspiration. Hope is a promise that what God has always done, He will continue to do. The Old Testament prophets said that hope promises to renew our strength, to give us a future, and to never disappoint.
So Jesus was God making good on His promises. Jesus was not only the hope of Israel, but also the hope of glory, the assurance that He had prepared a place for us in heaven, and that He would come again and take us there to be with Him. The nativity was just the beginning, the seed where hope began to bloom.
So angels and stars summoned shepherds and wise men, but it wasn't the invitation open to all. Perhaps many heard the reports or saw the star, but just could not believe that their king would appear in such a place.
Not here, they would say. Not here.
Or maybe the timing was all wrong. After all, the Jews were suffering under Rome's oppression, and they were expecting a different kind of deliverer.
So, not now, they might think. Maybe later.
And the child himself, well, he was ordinary, even common, nothing special.
Not him would have been their excuse. Not here, not now, not him.
Now over 2,000 years later, we still hear the same excuses. The place, the time, the person of Jesus are just not right. It's not convenient.
And yet, the invitation still stands. Come now and find the peace, the joy, the hope that you've been longing for. There is no better time or place to trust in the one who left his throne in heaven so that he could become your Savior and King.
Thank you. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Anna. Hard to turn that down. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. That's why he came. He didn't come to defeat the Romans. He didn't come to run some business empire. He didn't come to try to be popular. He didn't come to get rich and famous. He didn't come to share some nice moral lessons with us. He didn't come to make people feel good. He came to earth to take up residence in our lives as Savior, Lord, King. He came to save us from our sins and to give us eternal life, to leave us with His Spirit as a seal of our redemption and to give us power to walk in victory. He came to change us forever. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in and save me. Come in and take over. I'm sure most of you here this morning know Jesus as your Savior, and it is your desire to honor Him with your life. If you don't know Him this morning, my hope and prayer is that God will use something that we may have sung or some words that were spoken that might prompt you to consider Jesus, who loved you enough to leave heaven and come to earth and dwell among us and die for your sins and mine. In one of the songs that we sang this morning, we sang, "Hope was born this night." It had these words, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to all men. Let all the world sing a chorus of joy, because hope was born this night." It really was. Without Jesus, without the Son of God invading human history and coming to earth, there would be no hope. All of the man-made religious paths of trying to please God, or all of the efforts of just trying to live a good life, good enough life to gain God's favor, they fail, they are futile. Mankind simply cannot please God on his own. Others go the route of denying that there's a God at all, and assume that this life is all that there is, and they're masters of their own destinies. In the end, all of those religions, all of those philosophies, no matter how sincere, no matter how devout, in the end, it is all futility. In Proverbs it says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but it ends in death." None of those man-made paths can save you. No one can get to heaven in their own effort, by their own wisdom, or on their own terms. Only God, reaching down from heaven, could make a way back, a way for us to be reconciled to the God that we had so horrifically offended. Only God could do that. So Jesus came. 2,000 years ago, he left heaven and he was born of a virgin in a manger in a little town called Bethlehem. It was announced by the angels to some lowly shepherds out in the fields watching their flocks. And hope was born this night. All the hope that humanity has, all the hope that any of us has, began with a baby in a manger, when there was no room for him in the inn. There, lying in that manger, in swaddling clothes, on common hay, among the cows and horses of the barn, among the stench, the flies, lay the King of Glory, the hope of the world, Creator, Sustainer, Savior, Redeemer, the Almighty God. It's an amazing thing, the Incarnation. Amazing. I got to write a letter yesterday to a lady who is turning 80 this week, somebody from my little home church back in West Virginia when I first got saved, called me a couple days ago asking if I would write a letter as part of her birthday, this lady's birthday celebration. Her name is Jean Tobelman, and she was the choir director at that church, who had called the high school orchestra leader and was looking for a trumpet player to accompany and be part of the band for this musical, this youth musical they were putting on called Show Me Jesus back in 1972. And so I got called and I went. And those people took me in into that church, into that fellowship as a brand new baby believer, and loved on me and built deeply into my life. And John and Jean Tobelman were a vital part of that process. They were the very first people to disciple me. I learned from Jean what a godly wife and mother looks like and what it means to build a Christ-centered home. She had a radiant passion for Jesus. She and John helped send me to Costa Rica, helped me go to Wheaton. They supported me on staff with Campus Crusade. I got to write a letter to Jean thanking her for loving me like a son, for helping me become the pastor and shepherd that I am today, in part because of how she and her husband shepherded me and cared for me in those early days in my faith. I wrote to her about my two daughters who both love Jesus and who both are involved in Christian ministry. I shared that her legacy is already affecting multiple generations. I wrote to her and told her that there is laid up for her treasure in heaven. Although Jean and her husband didn't lead me to Jesus, she and John were the first to really model the Christian life for me, to build into me the things of the faith. They showed me that there is no other hope, that there is only hope in Jesus. 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, hope was born this night. In our closing song, it invites us to come and worship. It invites us to come humbly before Him and bow in honor and awe, in wonder and reverence. Irrespective of status or station, regardless of prestige or prominence, education or experience, no matter your talent or treasure, we all come before this baby and bow. Come now, sinners, and you saints, all peasants and all kings, and bow before the earth's Redeemer. Let all voices sing. In a moment, our choir will sing, Hallelujah, the King is here, given for all men. For today, the Holy Son of God is born in Bethlehem. Hallelujah, the King is here, given for all men. For today, the Holy Son of God is born in Bethlehem. We bow before Jesus, our Redeemer, and we sing His praise. We're just at the start of the Christmas season. We've lit our first Advent candle. There are three more weeks till Christmas. Lots of time to reflect on what Jesus has accomplished for us. Lots of time to pray, to give Him thanks, to humbly worship Him. I hope your Christmas season is rich and full with the Lord Jesus at the very center of it all. There's the sparkle of tinsel, the jingle of bells, the warm glow of candles, the sweet smell of cookies. There's the welcome of home, the loving embrace of family. There's laughter and smiles, the giving of gifts, the keeping of traditions, the sharing of memories. But it all fades in meaning and significance to the fact that the Savior is here, God with us in the flesh, God incarnate. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. Thank you, choir. You may be seated. Do we have a final carol, or that's right, finished, right? We do? No, we're good. Good. Sorry. We talked earlier. Honest, we did. You can turn the house lights on if you would, please. Gretchen, thank you very much. Thank you for your hard work, your labor of love. Thank you, choir, for all the practice. Very much. Nicely done. Well, I hope you were blessed and encouraged and uplifted by the program this morning. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? Father, we stand amazed that you would send your Son to such a humble place, to a humble and lowly mother, a lowly location, to save us. We really can't take it in. We confess. We don't understand it. This incarnation, that God would come to dwell among us, that he would take upon himself, that you would send your Son to take on human flesh. We think about, Lord Jesus, you being fully God and fully man, and it's beyond us. It is beyond us. And so we simply bow in awe. We bow in humble adoration to you, our Savior, Lord, and King. And we thank you. We humbly thank you for coming, knowing that you, in short order, would die for our sins, would be nailed to a cross, humiliated and shamed in open display for us. You would be the sin bearer. You would carry the weight of our sins on the cross. We don't understand it all, but we are grateful, forever grateful. So, Father, this Christmas season, our heart's desire is to lift up and exalt the Lord Jesus, this one who has been for eternity past, who exists for eternity future. There is no beginning, no end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Lord Jesus, you came and embodied a little baby. We worship you. Be glorified, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you.